Welcome to Book of Boredom Podcast.
It's been a long time.
Gigi and I shouldn't have left you.
Yeah.
Without a dope beat to step to.
Oh, what's the weather like there? It is freaking hot as balls here.
Oh, it's always hot here. Gigi, yeah, it's Brisbane.
Yeah?
It is in the middle of winter, but I just put the aircon on.
How funny.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
But I didn't get kicked out of my house for, what, an entire year?
No.
Like, how long was that? How long did it take?
Yeah, it was almost to the day, a year.
Unbelievable.
I'm pretty mad about it, hey, like...
Yeah, what do you do?
What do you do?
I know. And look, the world has just fallen apart ever since. Like, nothing has gone right. We've got Washington, D.C. and L.A. are overtaken with police and military presence. So the United States is going down the shithole. The tariffs are so bad, like everything is getting expensive and they keep kicking all the migrants out. And so the food is getting more expensive. And I'm just like looking around going, what the fuck is this dumpster fire?
It's the United States of America.
It's not always this bad. Like, I didn't think it was always this crazy, but this is fucking nuts. And I've been still working on my freaking car. The El Camino is going to take another 3 years before it's done.
It's a long project. It gives you something to occupy your mind with and your learning skills along the way. It's great.
It's a lot more fun than being a lawyer, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm surrounded by really good-looking young men. And they're very polite to me because I'm like the old lady in the class.
Oh, all right.
And
are you like Mrs. Robinson?
No, I don't have that gene in me. It is kind of entertaining, though. Like, one of the guys asked me if I had any single lady friends. Like, he was looking for a rich attorney lady to be a sugar mama.
Right.
And I'm like, you're so young. I have to say, there's some kind of con going on where women don't think this is a job that they can do, or they don't think it's a thing, or I don't know. I was never exposed to it in high school, so it was never really an option, I guess.
Right.
But the jobs are good because
they are.
The kids get hired out of this class from local body shops, and they can make really good money with no student loan debt right away, and their jobs cannot be done by AI, and they can't be shipped overseas.
That's right, yeah.
I'm waiting for AI to take over everything.
It will eventually. Even that stuff.
I don't know what that is going to look like. The other day, I was watching a video on TikTok, which is the most evil, horrible addiction I have. It was a black and white video. It looked like somebody's security camera. And it was all these bunnies jumping on a trampoline. The person was like, oh, look what I found in my backyard. I'm like, no, somebody have had to put those bunnies on the trampoline for this to work. But they were bouncing a lot. And I was like, huh. And I just kind of scrolled past going, I don't know if I believe what I just saw. And then days later, everybody's like, oh, that is a fake video. Like, we have confirmed
yeah.
that bunnies do not jump like that on a trampoline.
No.
But I didn't have the effort to go and do research. Like, is the bunnies on the trampoline a real video?
Just assume that it's fake.
I'm starting to really think that if I don't have confirmation from something from a number of sources of like legacy media, which I'm not even a fan of, but that's been around a long time, that if there was a hurricane or a bombing, I would probably believe it if I saw it on Fox and on like CNN and a few other, but
right.
we just defunded our public news sources. So we don't have any publicly funded, like neutral, like BBC or something. So I have to assume everything is fake.
Yeah. Or you just have to have a diet where you spend a lot of time getting a broad range of news inputs and you can work out what's right.
So weird.
To be fair, though, I think when it comes to Fox News, if you don't look at their opinion shows and just look at their actual news reporting, I'm sure it's not that bad.
Yeah, the opinion is always like insane.
Yeah, their opinion stuff's going to be very whatever, but I mean, just their, you know, nightly news bulletin of the actual facts.
Right.
I don't think anyone has a problem with that so much.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. You know, even on the super liberal side, sometimes I'm like, you know,
yeah.
okay, that's a very, I don't know. There's this one lady named Rachel Maddow, and she's like as left as you can get.
Oh, I know.
I'll watch her. She doesn't annoy me.
She annoys me.
She annoys a lot of people.
I don't want to hear anything she says, and I don't even know what she says.
But what is it about her that you don't like, though?
She looks like that type of person that is super annoying. I don't know what it is.
Because they know everything.
Maybe.
Like, she's like, comes across as maybe a know-it-all. And she does get emotional. Like, she will appeal to sometimes your emotion.
Well, maybe don't do that.
And I feel like when she does do that, I could see how it would push people off. off, right? So like, I don't like these two extremes, even though I actually trust her information more.
Right.
Because she seems like she actually researches it because she is a know-it-all. and so she comes across as a little bit smug. And I get it. But at least I don't think she's going to outright lie.
No.
But she'll spin it a bit. It's been crazy. I don't know if you've been hearing what's been going on here with like Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
So I'm in California, right?
You're falling in love with Gavin?
Starting to.
He's a good looking fella.
I mean, he's got his dark past. Like, he had an affair with a married woman when he was divorced and she was still married.
I don't care. It's not illegal to have an affair.
Could you blame her? Like, come on. Like, I'm married to Dr. Brad. I think he's good looking, but Brad doesn't have a full head of hair like Gavin Newsom has a head of hair. And he's been my governor for long enough. And I think
he's your governor, is he?
He's my governor. Oh, yeah. And the problem with him, and I'll admit it, is that he can be way on the sides of businesses, vetoing some legislation that, you know, might really help the average American, but he doesn't want it to affect jobs.
Right.
So he is very careful about not doing anything to piss off, you know, the people that make jobs, the tech industry. Like, I get it. We cannot survive without cooperating with some of these companies that are creating jobs and advancement, even when we should be actually able to afford free healthcare for everyone by now in this country. If we would just stop sending all the money to Israel, we would have so much money for healthcare. But so there are things he does I don't like. But ever since he started trolling Trump.
Oh, isn't it funny? I love the way those all caps tweets that are just exactly the same way that Donald Trump talks.
With the insults of like tiny hands, taco Trump. And you're like, okay, thank you. They're calling him Gavin Newsom. Just Trump calls him Gavin Newsom.
I call him Gavin Do Me.
Right? Do some of this. So like the whole, when they go low, we go high is like, I'm sorry, not anymore. We're having an election coming up so that we can gerrymander our whole state. We in California passed a law that doesn't allow that.
Yeah.
We have an independent commission that draws the line. And Texas doesn't do that. Texas does not have that law.
No.
And when the entire government, they had legislation in the federal House and Senate to try and make it illegal to gerrymander, none of the Republicans voted for it. And now they're getting all butt hurt because we want to do it too. And it's like, I don't care that we passed a law. We're about to have an election to say that we're not going to pay attention to that law because laws don't matter in America anymore.
I don't think he's going to get that passed.
Oh, I do. He's going to put it on the ballot. And this is a blue state. And there are more people living in Los Angeles and San Francisco than almost the rest of every red state in the United States.
Yeah.
And our red districts are small.
Yeah.
I think we can pick up 7 seats based on the majority. I mean, we'll see. Somebody's got to do something.
Fighting fire with fire. Do, do, do.
On TikTok, if you talk about a protest, then they censor it.
Ooh.
So they call them music festivals right now. Well, Los Angeles has been having a music festival 24 hours a day outside of the ICE facilities where they kidnap the immigrants and things.
Uh-huh.
And it hasn't stopped. There's a protest down the road from me tonight. There's another protest happening like on Labor Day. Like, people are pissed. The cost of everything is going up and people are losing their jobs. I don't know if we'll ever have another free election.
You will.
Like, this might be the last gasping breath of a dying democracy.
No, it's not dying, Gigi.
I mean, I hope not.
You'll be all right.
The existential crisis and stress that I experience by just looking at the news is like horrifying.
It is kind of amusing at times, so.
Well, that's because you live in Australia, where you guys are a bit more civilized.
Are we?
Somehow.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm starting to think so.
We've got socialism, and all I got was kicked out of my apartment for a year.
Oh my God, I know. But would capitalism ever have done any better?
Well, yes. It would have.
How?
Because I own my home outright. You can't kick someone out if you own it. That's called stealing. The government stole my property from me. So yes, it would have mattered.
They must have condemned it first or officially declared it unlivable. Or how did that work?
Yeah, how did that work? I'm still trying to work that out.
Huh.
And you know what?
Hmm.
It wasn't unlivable. It wasn't unhygienic. It wasn't mold-ridden.
And you could have stayed there while they did the construction.
That's right. We could have stayed there while they did any repairs.
Do you guys have like a homeowners association? Who made that decision?
We have a body corporate.
Okay. Were those the ones that made the decision?
As far as I can tell, it was somebody who was employed by our insurance company. They had a loss assessor, I think, and I'm assuming they came here and they probably have some responsibilities to their company, but also as far as whatever the laws are for things. And I think they didn't take a very good look. They just looked at all the water and said, that's it, everyone out. But they didn't get rid of everyone. The floors above the water damage, they've been here the whole time. They were allowed to stay.
How many residents were kicked out?
Oh, hundreds. Yeah, they didn't give a fuck.
Oh my God.
They didn't think about it at all. And this is right in the middle of a housing crisis in southeast Queensland because everyone moved up here after COVID because we had less draconian laws.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I do think socialism is to blame for it. And yes, I do think it would have been different. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Here's where I go with that. It's a fucking insurance company.
But why do they have so much power?
Because they have so much money. Remember, they don't make money by taking your money for insurance and giving it back to you. They make money by keeping it.
Right.
That's how they make money. And when they've got that much money that they're sitting on, that's building interest while they're not paying you and they're delaying, that's just making more interest and more money as they delay and delay and delay. And they run the place. I mean, literally, like, we can't even get medical care here.
But wouldn't they have made more money, though, by doing nothing? So I don't think that there was a company incentive for them to condemn the floors that were affected by the flood. I think that there was some other incentive that was probably some legal responsibility. So once again, I bring it back to politics.
In America, if your insurance company doesn't pay you properly for your claim, you can sue them. But it's like, you know how expensive it is to hire an attorney? And like, it's just ridiculous. Fighting the insurance company is hard.
I tried. I contacted one of those no win, no fee lawyers.
Yeah, what did they say?
And this was like 6 months ago. And they said they don't handle property issues like that.
Oh, yeah, probably because there's no money in it.
Right. You're not going to win.
When you have a car accident and you get a big settlement at the end of $1 million, then they take their cut.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like your damages here are the lost use of your home and the cost for you to rent or acquire new housing. And what I don't understand is how is it that they could kick you out and not cover your housing?
They did. They were late about it, though.
Okay.
Because I had quit my job just before this, for the first part of it, I ended up homeless because I didn't have enough money to rent anywhere.
Right.
But then the insurance money, which was delayed, ended up kicking in, and then we were able to get an Airbnb. But I still wasn't able to get a job because everyone had moved here. These recruiters were shooting fish in a barrel.
Oh, my God.
So I'm trying to not only
get housing,
but use that money to live.
Right. Oh my God. But I'm glad that you are back at home and now just looking for a job then?
I think I've just gotten one.
Oh.
It's only a 12-month contract.
Oh, okay.
But I think if I do well, there's a pretty good chance they're going to want to keep me on.
Here, everyone is looking for jobs. Like, it is not a good job market right now because the tariffs are so unstable. Like, nobody knows what's happening. I had a girlfriend just the other day. She ordered something on Etsy and she realized later that it was sitting in transit because she needed to pay a $300 tariff on top of what she had already paid.
What? $300 for something on Etsy. And that's just the tariff.
Yeah. It was like a dining room tabletop made of like wood and resin. It's a kind of a fancy tabletop. So it's a piece of furniture that she probably spent $1,000 on.
Right.
And then the $300 was not expected. And they wouldn't deliver it until she paid this money. The restaurants I go to all the time are barely hanging on because the cost is so high for the food. The people that order things from China and then put something together and they sell these things, they're not going to be doing well in the next month because the tariffs are just now kicking in for smaller businesses. And like John Deere Tractor just announced this huge loss because, oh, surprise, surprise, John Deere, they put the pieces of the tractor together here, but they import a lot of the parts. And Canada? Oh man, don't mess with Canadians. I'm telling you right now, our tourism in California and Florida and Las Vegas is down so bad that there are mayors getting on the TV begging Trump. The entire state of Nebraska is going bankrupt because China stopped buying their soybeans.
Ooh.
And that was their number one $7 billion industry of soybeans going to China. And China's like, fuck you, we'll get them from Brazil.
Yeah.
The housing market is just in the shitter. The only people that are saying it's all good is the Fox News people. They're still trying to convince Americans that, oh, China will pay for the tariffs.
No.
That's not how tariffs work.
They'll just go elsewhere.
They are just going elsewhere, and we are paying the tariffs. We are.
Yeah.
And, like, I am really waiting for, like, Trump to kind of figure out how economics works, but he's so far got his head up his own ass. It's a dumpster fire. That's all the dumpster fire that's happened since we last talked, I think. Like, it's insane.
You haven't spoken about alligator Alcatraz? Come on, this is too much to talk about.
We just had a judge declare that it has to be taken down in the next 60 days because when they built it, they didn't pay attention to any of the environmental laws.
Yeah.
They built it in 8 days on land that they're not supposed to be building on.
Wow.
Now, they're going to appeal it, so who knows if it'll ever get closed, but the conditions are not good.
It won't get closed.
And let me just end this political rant with this. I started volunteering with a group called VC Defensa, where we try to kind of monitor the ICE activity and give people information and resources about what their legal rights are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have food drives for people if their husband was deported and now they need diapers or whatever. Like a grassroots trying to help people.
Cool.
And one thing that we do is we kind of monitor the ICE detention facilities to see when they're going out on raids so that we can kind of follow them and warn people, you know, in Spanish. This is where they have like the court hearings for immigration. And this is the most heartbreaking thing. So somebody that is here 100% legally, right? But because of their status, they're on a visa that can be revoked at any time while waiting for citizenship or waiting to see if a judge is going to give them permanent asylum. But because our system is so fucked up, a lot of these people are never given any kind of permanent status, but they're told you can come back every year, you can work, you're paying taxes, you have a tax ID number, you have a job, but you are subject to deportment at any time. And what they're doing now is people that have been doing this for 20 years, who have been here legally, they are not breaking any laws. They're now revoking their status. And so the other day, I watched a Guatemalan woman walk into the facility with her two kids who are American citizens. And they basically gave her the choice of like, you can go into a detention facility and your children can go into foster care while we review your application, or you can self-deport right now and you can put your children in care or you can take them with you. And she's like, going to Guatemala with her children who are American citizens. I don't think that's in the best interest for us. To be honest with you, these people do the jobs that a lot of people don't want to do because they are here temporarily or on these weird visas. And the only work they can really get is like the jobs that nobody really wants to do. I live near all of the strawberry fields. You see the people working the fields. And I have family that do like the avocado industry.
That's the most Californian thing you've ever said, JJ.
Brad's uncles own avocado farms.
Holy shit.
And we have migrant workers. They come up for a specific amount of time and then they go back. But now they're too afraid to come. Fruit is rotting. And it's not a joke. It is very real.
Mm.
And that hurts everyone. And so to think that all of these people that are here are illegals, they're not illegal until you revoke their status and you kick them out. I watched a woman drive into a facility to go to their hearing, like they've been doing legally for every year, to say, hey, I'm still here. I'm not a felon. I've been working. This is what I've been doing so that they can keep an eye on you. And because they have quotas of how many people they have to deport, it's really easy to deport these people because you just pull their status. So this woman walks in with her husband and she walks out without him, bawling her eyes out, going, I don't know what the fuck to do. It's one thing to take the time to go track down the real criminals, because that's not easy to do. The ICE manpower is being used on the low hanging fruit of just people that are walking in to try to continue their legal status and then just deporting them. They don't give a shit. The people drive up and leave their cars there and they never come back for their cars because they just get disappeared.
Now, Gigi, I've got a very important question for you.
Okay.
Have you seen Dean Cain?
No, I have not. I've even heard he doesn't like how he has to show up to the office now, but I never even knew who he was until somebody said, oh, he used to be on a TV show for Superman. I'm like, yeah, I never watched it.
I used to watch it when I was a teenager.
Oh, I never did.
I loved Lois and Clark.
Oh, God. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Like, I wouldn't watch it now. I think it would bore me to tears. But as a teenager, you watch things that you would never watch later on.
Oh, I know. This is the type of shit we're dealing with.
Yeah.
But speaking of shit that we're dealing with, the Mormon missionaries did stop me.
I was going to ask you about that.
So I've had two encounters because I walk the dogs up and down Main Street and I carry a parasol, so I'm always funny looking because it's hot. So that's how everybody knows me.
What color is it? Is it blue?
I have a pink one that goes with my blue dresses, and I have a blue one with designs on it that goes with like other dresses. So I have like it's silly.
That's wonderful.
And then I've got my two stupid dogs on the leash, and I wave at all of my friends. So I'm walking by this one area, and they're sitting on one of the benches on Main Street. And as I'm walking by, one of the girls goes, "Oh, I love your dress." And I kind of just pretended like I didn't hear him because I didn't want to engage. So I just kept walking.
Right.
So like the next week, I'm walking without the dogs and the same girl, but I didn't see her. I just heard her. Somebody's like, "Man," and I kind of turn around. She's like, "I just wanted to tell you I love your dress." And it's the same two girls. And I'm like, "Oh God." I said, "Oh, thank you." I said, "You know, I would invite you over to my house for like a lunch, but I think that I'm in your book as a person that you're not allowed to go and visit." And so I gave him my business card. And I said, "I'm pretty sure that the last time the women missionaries came over, they were never allowed to come back."
Mm.
And I invited them back. And you know they will come back if you invite them, right? Because they realized very quickly that I'm an ex-Mormon.
Right.
And I will tell you that you're in a sex cult.
Yes.
I said, "Did you know that Joseph Smith like had a 14-year-old wife?" And I'm like, "And the reason he was tarred and feathered was not just because he believed in a God that not everybody liked. It was because he was actively like conning people out of money doing these treasure hunts." And I explained to them like how he would do that. And I said, "So, you know, I know that you're not allowed to look at all the information out there about him, but I stopped being Mormon once I started to learn about what the church is really about."
Right.
You know, because I asked him, I'm like, "Where are you guys from?" And one's like Utah and the other one's Iowa. And I'm like, "Yeah, that tracks." They're very young and naive. And, you know, they're carrying around a Book of Mormon in Spanish. 51% of my community is Hispanic. Like, I'm in a minority here.
Oh, so am I, Gigi.
Yeah.
No, for reals.
Really?
I'm not exactly sure what the stats are, but we have had so much fucking immigration in the past little while.
Where are most people coming from?
Asia and India.
Yeah.
And I love these people, but you know what?
Yeah.
It's been too much.
Is it affecting the job market, no doubt?
Yes!
I hear you.
That's all right. Our government's cut back. It's just taken a while.
Yeah, there's a balance. Like, there's no right answer. But it was interesting that they were going to be proselytizing to the Hispanic community because they may not know all about the Mormon church, you know?
Get them while they don't know, right?
Yeah, before they have a chance to Google it. So, but at that point, they were like, "Oh, thank you. It was so nice talking to you." As they like slowly back away from me, like I am like a dangerous human to talk to.
This disarming woman, Satan.
They stopped the wrong lady on the street.
They certainly did.
Because then I was like, and by the way, I'm like, if you're ever interested, like I'm on a podcast called The Book of Boredom, where we read this book out loud for people to hear. And then we do a critique and an exegesis of it. And, you know, I was telling him, like, I was a literature major. Like any 15-year-old boy could have written this book.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is not a special book.
Uh-huh.
It's very bad writing. Like, God could have done better if it was God doing it.
ChatGPT could have done better. And that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. And it was, of course, I felt bad for them. I'm sure I'll see them again. I'm always walking up and down the street.
Yeah.
And we've got an area where the Jehovah's Witnesses like to set up their shop every freaking week.
Oh, I know. Aren't they depressing? You walk past them, there's nothing going on with the JWs at all.
They just stand there. They don't even talk to me.
No.
I've never talked to them. But they just stand there and they're waiting for somebody to approach them because they're doing their hours. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, they do the same thing here. They must have got some new leadership because in my whole time in living in Brisbane, I don't think I've ever seen them so, excuse the pun, religiously on the corner, you know, in the city.
Right. Two ladies are always on this one street and then there's always some other people on the main street. And they just stand there with like a poster board.
Right. That's exactly it.
And it doesn't say anything about who they are. And I've actually never really read what it says. I just don't make eye contact and I keep walking.
Oh, that's the way.
Maybe I should be engaging these people.
No.
Maybe I can save their souls.
You can't. You just can't.
It's okay. It's like the people that think Donald Trump can do no wrong. Like, they are in a cult.
Yeah.
I will never convince them to not be in a cult. They have to have something happen inside them for them to start deconstructing it.
Yeah.
And I just wish I knew what to say to plant that seed that would dig deep into their brain like a worm in RFK's brain. Like, you've heard about how he had a brainworm.
We need the GGD conversion brainworm.
My words need to go into their ears and dig into their brain and start eating it from the inside out.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is you could possibly say to somebody.
I don't know either, Gigi. All I know what to do is just read this fucking book.
I know.
That's all I got. Like,
I know.
I want to take this thing down.
It's insane.
But I honestly don't know how. Recently, I've been doing some research about all the land that the church owns.
Yeah.
And in Australia, they own a whole bunch of it. And
farmland.
Farmland, right?
Yeah.
And remember how there was a 60 Minutes report in Australia?
About all the money that they were hiding?
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether this was in response to that, but the farmland website in Australia says this is a for-profit taxable arm of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this is what we do. And then because it's a private company, they don't give you any more information.
Yeah.
I went looking for more information. Say, how much land have you got? Oh, you're not going to tell us. Where are your properties? You're not going to tell us. Because they don't have to, right? They say it's taxable, but I don't believe they're paying any tax on it. I mean, I'm sure it's taxable, but if they've got the right deductions and infrastructure set up,
they could pay every lawyer they need to as much money as they want to get them out of all the taxes possible.
Right.
You know, if we would just start taxing the churches, because theoretically churches are supposed to be doing charity, right? But they're not. They're very rarely doing any real charity. Mm-hmm. So we need to tax them so that we can take that money and put it back into the system to, I don't know, give people health care.
Mm-hmm.
But instead we get these insurance companies that make money by denying your claim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thank God St. Luigi finally killed one of them, like the CEO of United Healthcare. Did you hear about that?
Right.
Luigi Mangione. He's going to be going up for trial soon, but I swear to God, everybody in the world will testify to their dying breath that he was with them at the time. He was with me at the time. I'll go to testify like he was innocent. He didn't shoot that CEO because that CEO deserved it.
Really? I don't think anyone deserves to be murdered.
Well, what happened after the French revolted? Like, they made their point, didn't they?
They did make their...
They got their democracy. They killed the rich. They got rid of the king.
I'm not sure that France is a good example of much, to be honest.
I don't know. Everybody gets a good vacation and job security. You know.
I'm sure the fellow wasn't a great guy, right? Being the CEO of an insurance company.
No billionaire is a good person.
Probably not.
Billionaires shouldn't exist.
But they shouldn't be murdered on the streets.
But yeah, no, that's never a good answer, okay? Obviously. I mean, even though I put Luigi Mangione up on a pedestal as a saint, it's not a course of action that I would have taken.
No. I hear what you're saying. No, I guess who's going to testify against this guy?
Like, I think he raised like $700,000 immediately for defense funds.
Oh, wow, really?
Women are proposing to him in jail.
What is it with women sending letters to criminals? What is it about that?
Oh, God, I don't know.
There's a certain kind of woman that just really fucking loves that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I was like in my 20s and one of my friends started conversing with this aggressive fella who's in jail for pretty much maiming another person. Then when he gets out, she goes and marries the guy. I think they've split up now, but what the fuck? What is wrong with people? Why would you think that this is marriage material?
Because when you're in jail and you've got nothing but time, you can write really, really poignant love letters to women. Because, you know, they're like probably 800 pounds or whatever, or couldn't find a man on the outside, and they're swept off their feet and they start sending in money. And then it just devolves from there. I mean, when I worked at the Innocence Project, I saw this firsthand. Like, we would get letters from prisoners all the time. They would send us poems and they'd paint pictures of us. And some women fall for it. I mean, Scott Peterson, who killed his wife, Lacey Peterson, here in California, he has no shortage of admirers.
Yeah, what is that about?
It's bizarre.
It's wacky. It's almost like there's some primal thing that happens like in the lizard brain that says, okay, that's a dangerous man. If I get on good with him, I'll be safe.
Yes, it's the proximity to power. And because he's in prison, especially if they're in prison for life, they're still kind of safe.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Scott Peterson is never going to get out of jail. So he's this safe fantasy man.
I guess they've tried Tinder. That didn't work out.
Yeah, right?
Because it doesn't work out for anyone.
But yeah, not Tinder.
So.
But I mean, if you are a lonely woman and looking for love and you've got a man who's captive,
yeah,
who will send you love letters and call you darling and do all the things except actually be there for you physically in a way that you need, you know, yeah, you can live this fantasy land, you know, and believe he's innocent and he's just persecuted and whatever. How did Joseph Smith convince so many women to marry him?
I think it must be something to do with the same thing. Let's get a neuroscientist on the podcast and examine this, because this is key.
Right.
If we can separate the women from the cult, there won't be a cult anymore.
Yeah. Oh, All right, what chapter are we reading today? I can't remember where we are.
It's Alma chapter 11.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Yes, oh, God.
Oh, is this a good one or a bad one? We'll find out.
It's horrible. You were on when we did Alma 10, and Benjamin was saying, oh, if you look at the next chapter, he's made this whole currency system. He's got all these weird names he's made up for different amounts of precious metals and shit.
Oh, my God. That's right.
So have you got the preface there for it?
I do. Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, you go for it.
Okay. Chapter 11. The Nephite monetary system is set forth. Amulek contends with Zizram. Christ will not save people in their sins. Only those who inherit the kingdom of heaven are saved. All men will rise in immortality. There is no death after the resurrection. About 82 BC.
Did you just say that Christ will not save them from their sins?
Yeah, it says Christ will not save people in their sins. Only those who inherit the kingdom of heaven are saved. So Christ isn't going to just save everybody, only the people that have inherited the kingdom of heaven.
And just to be clear, this is not something that Joseph wrote. This is something that the church has added on at the beginning about some doctrine to try and interpret it. That's quite a statement, though.
Yeah, and my understanding, though, is in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven and be saved, you have to go through the temple, you have to be Mormon, you have to do all the things, right?
Mm.
That's how you become a person that doesn't get put into the lower level of heaven. The Christians have always had a problem with this because they will argue to some extent, oh, Christ saves by grace alone.
Mm.
You know, like you don't have to do these things or whatever. You just have to ask Christ for forgiveness, believe in Christ as your savior, and you're saved. But this is like, no, they've got more work for you to do, it seems like.
Yeah.
I'm already seeing some of this passage.
Oh, isn't it bonkers? Do you want to take the first few?
Okay. Now it was in the law of Mosiah that every man who was a judge of the law or those who were appointed to be judges should receive wages according to the time which they labored to judge those who were brought before them to be judged. Now, if a man owed another and he would not pay that which he did owe, he was complained of to the judge, and the judge executed authority and sent forth officers that the man should be brought before him. And he judged the man according to the law and the evidences which were brought against him. And thus the man was compelled to pay that which he owed, or be stripped, or be cast out from among the people as a thief and a robber. See, Joseph Smith was very familiar with how the law worked to some extent. And the judge received for his wages, according to his time, a senine of gold for a day, or a senum of silver, which is equal to a senine of gold. And this is according to the law which was given. Oh, it just goes downhill from here.
So a senum of silver is equal to a senine of gold. But they don't tell you how much a senine of gold is.
No.
Just how much they are comparatively.
This is Joseph doing a little bit of world building.
Oh, he loves it.
Right. And besides, they did this in the Bible at one point where they would lay out stuff like this. In the Bible, you had that entire area where it was like, this guy beget this guy, and this guy beget that guy, and that guy beget this guy. And it was just like all these lists of people that have, you know.
So now we've got a senine begets a senum.
Absolutely.
Right.
Here, maybe they'll clarify it.
Maybe he will.
You read.
Now, these are the names of the different pieces of their gold and of their silver, according to their value. And the names are given by the Nephites, for they did not reckon. I'm going to say that with my Australian twang. They didn't reckon after the manner of the Jews who were at Jerusalem. Neither did they measure after the manner of the Jews. But they altered their reckoning and their measure according to the minds and the circumstances of the people in every generation until the reign of the judges, they having been established by King Mosiah. That was all like one sentence, and I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about. What is he talking about?
He's saying, you know, the Jews in Jerusalem count their money in certain ways, but the people here count their money in different ways, is what I'm gathering.
Why couldn't he have said it that way?
Yeah, he was talking into a hat, so. And he was just making shit up.
Verse 5.
So.
Now, the reckoning is thus a senine of gold, a seon of gold, a shum of gold, and a limna of gold. Oh, he liked that. It just runs off the tongue, doesn't it? Limna.
Yep.
Oh, you want to see his limna, don't you? Verse 6, a senum of silver, an amnor of silver, an Ezrom of silver, and an Onti of silver.
Okay, I love this because it reminds me of, did you know that a large group of pelicans can be called a brief of pelicans?
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Just like how you have a gaggle of goose and you have a murder of crows. Some people are like, what do you call a group of women over 40? You know, it's like a, I don't know, some funny word, like a, you know, a group of cunts or something. But like you can do all these fun things with these. And that's what he's doing here. He's giving you the names of different things that just don't really mean anything.
All right.
I mean, I'll do seven.
Yeah, you go for it.
A senum of silver was equal to a C9 of gold, and either for a measure of barley, and also for a measure of every kind of grain. Now, the amount of a seon of gold was twice the value of a C9. And this is verse 9. And a shum of gold was twice the value of a seon. Now, I'm sure that there are scholars that sit down and like kind of memorize this to try to figure out how this works, but this is just ridiculous.
You know what? You could turn this into an algebraic equation where everything is related to everything else.
Yes.
And I think I might do that later.
I mean, I imagine what a shum of gold looks like.
A shum of gold looks like something that comes out of your car, I reckon.
Just shavings, just a pile of metal.
Have you put your shum into the ignition yet?
Oh, God. Or I'll be playing poker. I'll see your shum and I'll raise you a limna. Ooh, go to 10. Read that because now it's going to clarify even more.
And a limna of gold was the value of them all.
That's the answer right there.
What does that mean, though? What all?
And why put this in here? Why was it necessary, right? Like, what's the point of this?
I don't know. And an amna of silver was as great as 2 senums. And an ezrom of silver was as great as 4 senums.
And an onti was as great as them all.
He's doing the same thing with silver, you see, as he did with gold, once we figure that out.
Yeah. Now, this is the value of the lesser numbers of their reckoning. A shiblon. Oh, we haven't heard this one before. A shiblon. A shiblon is half of a senum, therefore, a shiblon for half a measure of barley. Oh. Okay. It just sounds like a medical term, maybe, like, you know, like smegma is a medical term. And now you have a shiblom.
A shablam, a shablom, a shibli.
Okay, go to 16. It gets even better.
And a shiblum, not to be confused with a shiblun, is a half of a shiblon. And a leah is a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
No. And a leah is the half of a shiblum. And this is their number according to their reckoning. Oh, is it, Joseph?
Oh, my God.
Gigi, that's their number.
Yeah, this is the number according to the...
Joseph, I've got your number, you fucker.
Now, an anton... Antion?
Antion, I think, yeah.
Antion of gold is equal to 3 shiblons.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Now, it was for the sole purpose to get
gain.
Oh, God. What? Well, I thought I was going to say grain because they were talking about barley earlier.
Joseph's just pumping iron, you know.
He wants to get gain, people. Because, you know, 10% of tithing is not enough for him.
Mm.
Because they received their wages according to their employ. Therefore, they did stir up the people to rioting and all manner of disturbances and wickedness, that they might have more employ. This is the judges he's complaining about.
Wow.
That they might get money according to the suits which were brought before them. Therefore, they did stir up the people against Alma and Amulek. Because remember, Joseph doesn't like judges. He thinks they're all being paid off to get gain. And so now he's trying to explain why they're corrupt, because they have this whole monetary system that somehow they're looking for the shabloms and not the shablams. Like, they want the senums and not the barley. Here, let's go to 21. And this Zizram began to question Amulek, saying, "Will ye answer me a few questions which I shall ask you?" Now, Zizram was a man who was expert in the devices of the devil, that he might destroy that which was good. Therefore, he said unto Amulek, "Will ye answer the questions which I shall put unto you?"
Oh, classic Joseph, just repeating himself.
But now we're going to have a dialogue between Zizram and Amulek.
And Amulek said unto him,
"Yay!"
Never gets old.
No.
Or as Ed used to say, yeah. Like that. Oh, Ed, we miss you.
I know.
If it be according to the Spirit of the Lord, which is in me, for I shall say nothing which is contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. And you know that because I just said it, so I must be speaking the truth.
That's right.
And Zizrom said unto him, behold. Why does everyone have to start a sentence with behold? You don't have to, you know. You can just start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Behold, here are 6 onties of silver, and all these will I give thee if thou wilt deny the existence of a supreme being. Well, I don't think anyone expected him to do that. That's a bit weird.
No.
Why would a judge need to bribe someone he's judging?
I guess to see if they would tell the truth or turn their back on faith for money.
Purity test.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
It is.
And Amulek said, oh, thou child of hell. I bet a few parents have said that to their kids along the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thou child of hell.
Why tempt ye me? Knowest thou that the righteous yieldeth to no such temptations?
It was a test.
Ugh.
Okay, 24. Believest thou that there is no God? I say unto you, nay, thou knowest that there is a God, but thou lovest that lucre more than him?
Lucre.
Lucre?
I think that's how you say it. I think it just means money, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, where do we see that with all the Senums and Ezrams and Shimlons?
Yeah, how much is a lucre?
Did we make up a new word? I lost track. What a lucre. Okay. And now thou hast lied before God unto me. Thou saidest unto me, I love these words that he makes up, behold, these 6 onties, which are of great worth, and we know how much they're worth if you reread this passage before it, I will give unto thee when thou hadst in thy heart to retain them from me. And it was only thy desire that I should deny the true and living God, that thou mightest have cause to destroy me. And now, behold, for this great evil thou shalt have thy reward. And Zizrom said unto him, thou sayest there is a true and living God? Ooh, take it away. I'm dying to see what Amulek says.
Yeah, notwithstanding the fact that verse 25 was really confusing to me. But anyway, yes, let's keep going.
I know.
And Amulek said, yeah, there is a true and living God.
Yeah.
Now Zizrom said, is there more than one God? And he answered, no. Have you noticed that the sentences have gotten really short recently?
I mean, I like those short sentences because they're at least a bit easier to digest than when he runs on, but...
I feel like we've had some editing going on. It just seems nothing like Joseph.
But I enjoy it when there's a dialogue because it goes a little bit faster. So now Zizrom said unto him again, how knowest thou these things? And he said, an angel hath made them known unto me. And Zizrom said again, who is he that shall come? Is it the Son of God?
How does anyone back then know anything about a Son of God? It's such a weird term.
They didn't have an internet, but they had angels that would appear.
That's right, the angelic network. And he said unto him, yeah. And Zizrom said again, shall he save his people in their sins? And Amulek answered and said unto him, I say unto you, he shall not, for it is impossible for him to deny his word. Now Zizrom said unto the people, see that ye remember these things. For he said, there is but one God. Yet he saith that the Son of God shall come, but he shall not save his people as though he had authority to command God.
See, this is where we go, where they believe in the Trinity, I guess. How does it work?
I don't know.
Like God and the Father and the Holy Ghost are separate things. So like, I guess God has more power than Jesus Christ himself.
I'm not sure exactly what he's getting at there, but he's definitely trying to insert some doctrine.
Yeah. So now Amulek saith again unto him, behold, thou hast lied, for thou sayest that I spake as though I had authority to command God, because I said he shall not save his people in their sin. And I say unto you again that he cannot save them in their sins, for I cannot deny his word. And he hath said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, how can ye be saved except ye inherit the kingdom of heaven? Therefore, ye cannot be saved in your sins. Now Zizrom saith again unto him, is the Son of God the very eternal Father?
And Amulek said unto him, yeah, he is the very eternal father of heaven and of earth, and all things which in them are, he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, Gigi, did he just say that the Son of God is the Father? Because I feel like he just did.
Yeah, this is some weird doctrine shit.
Right? He's in his Trinity mode at this point when he was writing it.
Totally.
This is before he came up with the whole idea. Oh, no, they're not.
And then everybody can be a god.
Right.
And he shall come into the world to redeem his people, and he shall take upon him the transgressions of those who believed on his name. And these are they that shall have eternal life, and salvation cometh to none else. Therefore, the wicked remain as though there had been no redemption made, except it be the loosing of the bands of death. For behold, the day cometh that all shall rise from the dead and stand before God and be judged according to their works. Now there is a death which is called a temporal death, and the death of Christ shall loose the bands of this temporal death, that all shall be raised from this temporal death. This is why Mormons don't like to necessarily cremate usually, because they think that you'll be put back together and you'll crawl out of a grave with your body intact.
Oh, Jesus.
But then, I mean, if God can do that, he can put your ashes back together.
Right.
My understanding was that everyone who is dead, no matter what, they all come back to life and they are judged. And that's when all the men get their extra wives or something.
Now, what I want to know is, it's very possible that our bodies are made up with atoms that were once in somebody else's body.
Totally.
So, when these people get resurrected...
What parts...
Go where? You're going to have part bodies going everywhere.
It's going to be crowded. There's a lot of people that have died on Earth since we've existed.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that they are also going to, like, resurrect the first Neanderthals?
Yeah. What qualifies as a human?
Right?
Because I'm not sure Joseph qualifies.
I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll clarify itself, so read on.
All right. The spirit and the body shall be reunited again in its perfect form. Both limb and joint shall be restored to its proper frame.
I mean, if you're born with Down syndrome, do you get resurrected without Down syndrome?
Yeah, that is a really good question, isn't it? I don't think they know.
No.
Restored to its proper frame, even as we now are at this time. Oh, so you're saying that the proper frame
is whatever you are now.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And we shall be brought to stand before God, knowing even as we know now, and have a bright recollection of all our guilt.
Ooh, that sounds bad.
But what about if there's some people there now that don't have a bright recollection of their guilt? You're saying that they're not going to have a bright recollection of their guilt at the end?
Do the babies stay babies forever when they're resurrected, or do they get to grow up into making their own sin? Then all the women are going to take care of all these babies all the time that are eternally babies, wishing they would grow up so that they didn't have to change all these fucking diapers anymore.
Right.
Or maybe the babies are resurrected into their frame as they would have been if they had lived longer.
Maybe.
So a baby is suddenly born with a body that they're like, well, I didn't really grow my mental capacity to be equipped to run this body that is now an adult form.
Joseph, if you haven't thought this one through.
There's some holes in the logic.
Yeah. In fact, all Christians, you haven't thought this one through.
Oh, wait, read number 44, because this is where he clarifies.
Okay.
If you can clarify.
Now this restoration shall come to all, both old and young, both bond and free, both male and female, both the wicked and the righteous, and even there shall not so much as a hair of their heads be lost.
So Brad is going to grow his hair back? Male pattern baldness is not a thing in heaven?
But everything shall be restored to its perfect frame.
Interesting.
As it is now, or in the body, and shall be brought and be arraigned before the bar of Christ the Son and God the Father. I thought you just said they were both the same, you dickhead, and the Holy Spirit, which is one eternal God.
So it's like all three of them.
He just said the Trinity. What the fuck?
Yeah.
To be judged according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil.
Now behold, I have spoken unto you concerning the death of the mortal body, and also concerning the resurrection of the mortal body. I say unto you that this mortal body is raised to an immortal body that is from death, even from the first death unto life, that they can die no more. their spirits uniting with their bodies, never to be divided, thus the whole becoming spiritual and immortal, that they can no more see corruption. Now, when Amulek had finished these words, the people began again to be astonished, and also Zizram began to tremble, and thus ended the words of Amulek, or this is all that I have written.
What? Or this is all that I have written. What does that mean?
He spent a lot of time explaining the value of currency. Basically, no reason I can understand other than to like world build, which by the way, there's no coinage, no shablam that we've uncovered. If somebody was to find a shablam of gold, what was it? Like a shmegma of iron and a... If somebody found a bunch of those coins in a cache somewhere, like what happened to them? Because, you know, I hear stories all the time, like some farmer in China dug up a big giant jar of like ancient coins.
Right.
And you realize, yeah, those artifacts are there. They uncovered the entire terracotta warriors.
Right, yeah.
Which tells me that, you know, I kind of believe that somebody a long time ago did that.
Yeah.
Because they had to remove a lot of dirt and nobody does that anymore. And like,
yeah, they're very impressive.
Where is all the shum of gold?
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Well, Gigi, it's been beautiful to chat with you again, and I hope we do this more often now.
Unpack the state of the world.
Yes, unpack my stuff in my place and then unpack the state of the world and unpack Joseph's mind.
God.
We are solving world problems today.
100%. The big stuff.